and I are here, but because you're here, you make it an awesome church. And some churches, when they say children may be dismissed, half the church leaves. But children be dismissed, we have like maybe 30 kids dismissed, but the church is still full. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you guys are looking at me and go, that's really awesome? I says, yeah, because I've been in churches when I say church, the children, you can be dismissed. It's like I'm preaching to 20 people. And this is awesome. I love what God's doing here at Calvary Gospel. He's raising up another generation, but we still need the other generation that sits here and prays and encourages and uplifts our teachers, our leaders, our children. And that's just awesome. Awesome. I have no problem encouraging this church because you guys are awesome people. Just awesome people, awesome workers, awesome leaders. We just have an awesome church. Hey, college graduation. I might miss a couple names, but before we go into our word, we're just going to pray for our college graduates and high school graduates. Also, Alina Hamanuk, she's probably downstairs, right? She just left. Max Varenich is back there. He runs this, him and Ben now are running this computer and doing a great job. Liana, did you graduate, they said? Yes? Well, we're going to pray for you anyways. I got your name. Vanessa Pileggi, my daughter. She's not here? Vanessa, my daughter, has told me, she goes, you didn't announce my engagement. You didn't announce something else, my birthday. And, right, two things. And, man, I've heard it for the last, you've been married 2 years, so I've heard it for the last, well, we got engaged before that. So almost 3 years I hear it. She graduates with her master's degree, and she was here, and now she's, downstairs? And I'm ready to say congratulations to Vanessa, and she's not here. So, church, remember, I did say it. Oh, high school, Vanessa Varenich and Christina Shamradak graduated high school, so from Calvary Gospel. So let's just, you didn't graduate yet, but man, we're going to pray for you anyways. Hallelujah. Did I miss anybody? High school graduation, you may be visiting with us. Just raise your hand, and we want to just pray with you. We're going to pray for our high school and college graduates. Praise God. Okay, let's just take some time and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for our high school and college graduates. We thank you for our graduates that are in transition. Lord, we thank you, God, for these men and women of God that have chosen to move on to other careers or into workforce, but God, that you would direct their paths, and God, that you would open up doors, that you would give them favor, but most of all, God, we pray that, God, that your word would be imparted and implanted in the hearts of these young children, and God, that they would always stay focused, that you are their cornerstone, and God, that you are their light, hallelujah, and God, you are the word and the truth, Lord, that's going to guide them in their paths through everything that they do. So, Lord, we lift up our graduates here at Calvary, Lord. Everyone, Lord, that's going into a transition in their life, Lord God. God, that you would continue as you always do. You never leave us or forsake us. And, God, we just thank you for that right now, God. You have blessed us with these children, Lord, here at Calvary. You have blessed us immensely with these kids. And, God, we lift them up to you and we give them to you, Lord God. And let them be able to see you, Lord, as their light. Hallelujah, as their path that they need to walk on, in Jesus' name, amen and amen, hallelujah, praise God. Well, it's the weekend for graduation, we're going to talk to our graduates, but this is for the whole church, this is for the whole church. So the title of my message this morning is Taking the Next Step, Taking the Next Step. And we're all taking the next step, but especially kids in school. I mean, the next step is either, you know, junior high, high school, college, if they choose to do that, and their careers. And there's always a next step in every one of our lives. And so this is for the graduates, but it's also for us that are always in transition, no matter how old you are. You may be parents. You may get married. Then you may be parents. Then you may be grandparents. You may be great-grandparents. You're always in transition in our lives. We're always taking the next step, always taking the next step. So God's path and how to stay on it, this is what I want to talk about this today, how to stay on it and where it may lead you. If we're moving forward on it, The first thing, we can't dwell on the past. When we move forward, we can't dwell on the past. And so the first thing I want to share today is we need to have forward focus. Are you moving forward? Is your focus forward in the next step of your life? You think about this. If you are if you're trying to move forward, if that is forward, and you get two people running a race, and one's running forward this way, and the other one is always looking at the past, trying to, they can't see obstacles. They can't see boundaries. They can't see what's behind them. And a lot of times, hi, Vanessa, I prayed for you this morning because you graduated and you weren't here. So, huh?
I just texted.
Oh, you just texted her? Huh. Okay, so this counts for your engagement, your marriage, and your birthday. Okay. If you're running forward, but you're constantly looking at the past and you're trying to deal with the past, there is no way that you're going to win that race. Something is going to happen. Life is going to be, there will be struggles. There will be things in your way. That's why it's a forward look. It's a forward focus in your next step in life. Philippians 3:13, Paul says this very well. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's focus is always forward. And I love how he's the one that writes this, because Paul had a lot of issues in his life. He had a lot of things that he had to deal with before he knew Jesus. And so Paul is writing this, but man, when I found Jesus, when I found my calling, my forward focus was on Jesus. My focus was forward. And I love how he says, I press toward the goal. I'm reaching forth unto those things. That reaching means stretching, constantly going forward. He's not trying to find Jesus this way. He's not doing the backstroke. That's one thing, you know, believers probably shouldn't do, is the backstroke swimming. We need to look forward. We need to see where we are going, because Christ doesn't live in our past. I want to help us understand that. Christ is not in our past, because Christ came to deliver us from our past. So why would Christ be in our past? The enemy wants to keep you in your past, because then he can paralyze you, he can subdue you, he can control you by the things that you were. But the Bible says we're a new creation in Christ. So a new creation is looking this way. We are looking towards Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to get rid of the distractions. Paul says it, the one thing I do. Do you ever look back in such a way that it keeps you from moving forward in your Christian life? I want you to think about that. Have you ever looked back at your life and it's prevented you from moving forward in your Christian walk with God? Now, don't all raise your hand, but I'll be the first one. I have. It's almost natural to do that, but when you realize who Christ is and what he's done, it becomes unnatural to look back. Because Jesus isn't back there. Are we looking at our past failures? This is a big thing. Are we looking at our past failures once we come to Jesus? How we have failed God in the past and feel God can't use us in the present and the future. How many times have you thought that? I'll raise my hand. How many times have we struggled with something? Oh, God can't use me now. Or he can't use me in the future. See, we struggle with past failures. Peter was a great example. Come on. He denied Christ. He cursed and said, I don't know him. And what did Jesus do? He said, I'm going to build my church upon you. I'm going to build my church upon you. You talk about a failure. He walked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus, walked with Jesus. And yet he failed. If he sat there and said, oh, my past failures, oh, my past failures, and finally Jesus meets him after that and says, hey, it's not your past. I'm going to build my church on you. But sometimes we struggle. Can God use me because I made a mistake? Yes, he can. If you are in Christ, he has forgiven you. Jesus has forgiven you. Here's the question. Have you forgiven yourself? Because Christ has forgiven you. We struggle with ourselves. We beat ourselves up so bad sometimes. You know, you may walk in a room, everybody thinks you're just such a happy guy or a happy girl, and you just spent 2 hours beating yourself up. God says, I have forgiven you. Have you forgiven yourself? Past failures. God has worked for us. God has worked for you and I. He's not giving up. He doesn't go to plan B, C, D, E, F. And if you're really struggling, he doesn't go to plan Z. He says, my plan does not change for you. He's just waiting for you to line yourself up with Jesus. And so the plan doesn't change. He will use your past failures to minister to people in the present and in the future. See, we think our past failures are things like, oh man, I'm so glad I got out of that, which you should be, because it's Jesus that got you out of that. But it's also, he's going to use that as a testimony for your future. We go through things in life, whether it's our own mistakes or whether it's just life in general. But God uses those things in our past to give a testimony to people who are either going through the same thing you're going through or will be going through the same thing you're going through. But God uses those things. We don't live in it, but we use it to move forward in your life. And the Bible says, we overcome him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross, and the word of our testimony. Your testimony is forward focus. So when you say, man, I've struggled with this, and God has delivered me from this, and so the enemy tries to come, are you really delivered? Are you really this? You're that? You're constantly looking at your past failures. The enemy's trying to put you down and say, no, I'm going to use my past to be focused on my forward. I'm going to use what happened in my life, and I'm going to share that with someone who needs to know who Jesus is so they can stop looking at the past and they can move forward. Your testimony is so important. So, you know, are we looking at our past failures? Is our focus on that? Or we could be looking back at our past successes. How many of us do that? Oh, man, you know, how they served God in the past and insist on serving God in the present the same way. Or, you know, we did this before this way and, you know, that was so great and everything, but they're never open to what Jesus wants to do today in their life. Now, we could do this even as a church. We can look and say, we can do that, you know, talk about the good old days instead of focusing on what God has for us here at Calvary now. The good old days kept these doors open so that we could come today and God could speak to us today and say, hey, we're still moving to do something else. And so we could look at our past successes and we could dwell on them and still never move forward. Forward focus. Get rid of the past, even the successes of the past. We build on those to build a better home. What does God have for us today? Where is he calling us to go? What is he calling us to do? How can we minister to a culture that's different than it was 20, 30 years ago? I did not have to deal with what our children, these children, I'm not even talking about the young adults. I did not have to go through what these little children have to go through. Never. When I was in school, everybody went to church. Didn't matter what church you went to. You went to church. Parents made you go to church. There wasn't a church that was empty when I was in grade school, right? All the churches. Now what are churches doing? They're closing. Generations of parents aren't sending their kids to church. They're not going to church as parents. If a parent doesn't go, why do I have to go? You know, so I didn't have to deal with the things they're dealing with. I hear the stories of the drugs and the sex and the alcohol and the addictions in 12-year-olds. 12-year-olds. You know, that's what they're dealing with. So do we live in the past and say, well, we did it that way before and it worked? No, it didn't really work. It's God is doing something new and different. How do we reach these young kids? How do we reach them? How do we reach the college kids? God, what do you need us to do? What do you want us to do? We have to have a forward focus. We look at the past and say, that past will never hold my future hostage. Never. But my past is going to be a testimony to move forward. And my successes, even in God and in the church and in my life, is only a cornerstone for me to build the house that God wants me to build. Hallelujah. Man, I really beat this one. Forward focus. Forward focus. Second one. Our steps are ordered. God is very concerned and interested in what you are doing. The God of the all creation, the God of the universe, this awesome, sometimes maybe mystical and a mystery of a God, he has concern for you and I. He cares for you and I. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So the Lord has a plan for you and I, and he is so happy with his plan. See, you know, we have plans for our children sometimes, and it's like we are so happy when we, you know, have a plan for our child. This is what they're going to do, and we're going to help them do this. And we are just so excited, you know. And so God is the same way for you and I. His plan, can you imagine God of the universe who sent his son to die on that cross for you and I? He has a plan for you and I. And you just can imagine how happy he is. It's his plan. He's God. He is so happy. The Lord is happy with his plan for you and I. And it says that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And that word is so perfect for that, because it means to be firm, to be stable, to be established, be prepared, to be arranged. God has prepared. He has given you an established step. He has given you a stable foundation. We sang it today. I love it when a worship team picks songs that my message is about, and I don't even ask them or tell them what my message is. We talked about a cornerstone, and then I'm going to preach on, hey, you know, our steps are ordered. They are firm. They are established. They are stable. They are a rock. Hallelujah. God's plan is preparing you. It's not a faulty foundation. The plan he has for you is a solid foundation. It's a solid plan. It is established for you to grow in him. See, we're on a trip that has already been planned and prepared by God. See, God isn't thinking, okay, now she's 16 years old, I got to have a different plan. Oh, now she just hit 20 years old. Now I got to have a different plan. Oh, he just got married. Oh, I think I got to have a different plan. I got to think of something. God doesn't work that way. Our steps are ordered. The plan he has for you, church, is already in existence. This is what the Lord had showed me a long time ago. He's preparing me for what he has prepared for me. He is preparing Calvary Gospel for what he has already prepared Calvary Gospel for. My God does not get up in the morning and wake up in the morning and say, what am I going to do today? He doesn't do that. My God wakes up in the morning and says, hey, what am I doing in 2030? He's not worried about 2019. He took care of 2019 in 2000. My God he has already prepared Calvary Gospel for what he has prepared Calvary Gospel for. And I don't know what that is totally. You don't know. We don't know. But our steps are established and they're fixed and they're prepared to bring us where we're going to go. And so when God says it's time for Calvary Gospel to do this, we, after this message, we can rest assured that God's already gone before us. He didn't say, hey, let me go check this out before I send you guys. No, he's already said, I have prepared. The angels have already tread on the ground. They've already tilled up the ground. They've already taken the weeds and the rocks out of the ground. Calvary Gospel, you need to go now and plant the seed. Hallelujah. Your steps are ordered already by Jesus. Already they're ordered. And then he says, and if you delight in his way, though we fall, we shall not be cast down. We are never forsaken, but the Bible says he never leaves us or forsakes us. And I like it, 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are not perplexed, but not in despair. Next, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Calvary Gospel is never going to be destroyed. We may bend, but we're not going to break. We may be cast down, but we're going to get up. Remember that toy that they still have? It's an inflatable, like a cartoon character, and you punch it, and it just whoop, comes back. What is that? A Weeble Wobble. You ever see? You ever get that for your kids? You know, you inflate it, and you punch it, and it comes back up, punches. That's a believer in Christ. Hey, I can take a hit, but I'm getting back up. I can take a punch, but I'm getting back up. Hey, you may cast me down, but I'm getting back up. The only way, when you inflate that, the only way that that is going to be deflated, if you undo the thing that you blew into and decided to say, I'm going to be deflated. But once you blow into that, once God, the Holy Spirit, you guys got me going now. God is just really doing something today. I got to stay on my message, but man, Ephesians 1:13 says, when you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ. It just came to me like that Weeble Wobble, that little mechanism. That's the Holy Spirit. Once he plugs the hole, you may get hit, but you're coming back up. You may be cast down, but God's reaching you back. He's bringing you back up. Hallelujah. Your steps are ordered. We're all on a journey, but in this journey, we have the divine favor, and we're under the care of God. Not only will he prepare our path with purpose, he will shine his favor on us and protect us from harm when we fall. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him in his hand. That word uphold, when the God says, I'm going to uphold you, Calvary, I'm going to uphold you, whoever's sitting in this building today, that means he's going to support you. He's going to defend against the opposition, against criticism. He's going to keep you from sinking. He's going to lift you upward. He's going to raise you up. That's what that word uphold means. That's what he's doing for you every single day. Every time you feel cast down, hey, wait a minute. That verse says he upholds me. He raises me up. He protects me. He defends against my opposition. Hallelujah. Man, you got to get excited about that. This is the only way we're going to make it as a believer in Jesus. But he's helping us do this. If your steps are ordered by God, that means he has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. He has a plan. I love that. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Calvary Gospel, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He already has an expected end for you and I. He just wants to give it to us every single day. He has a plan. If our steps are ordered, he has a plan. So number three, paths are directed. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Our paths are directed by God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3:6. And that word direct means to be right, to be straight, to be level, to be upright, to be just, to be lawful, to be smooth. The key to unlocking God's direction on our paths is acknowledging him in all our ways. Are you acknowledging Jesus? It didn't say, are you perfect in Jesus? That's not what I read. It's not what the Bible says. Are you acknowledging Jesus in all your ways? See, that's going to help you. As you wake up in the morning, you may be having a not so good day, but God says, your paths are directed, are straight and level and upright and smooth, and they're going to be right if you acknowledge me in all things. That means acknowledging him in your struggles. Hey, God, I'm struggling with this today. Man, I've got to go into a meeting today, and I know my boss is ready to, you know, come against me or in this meeting, whatever it may be. Hey, you know, I've got to go into this relationship, or I got to speak to this person who has offended me, and how do I do this and everything. You know, there's things that we have to deal with every day, and I'm not talking sin things. I'm just talking about dealing with things every day in life. But God said, if you acknowledge me in all things, I will keep your path straight. I will keep it level. I will keep it upright. I will keep it just, and I will keep it smooth. So in transition, even with our graduates and even us as adults and young adults, this message is for us. God directs our path, not our activities, not our degrees, not our careers. Listen, not our boyfriends, not our girlfriends, not our boyfriends, not our girlfriends. One more time, in case you didn't get the first two. Not our boyfriends, not our girlfriends, not relationships is not directing my path. It's God. Is that person in the path of God? God directs our paths. Not things that we think that we are talented in and gifted in and, oh man, you know, I've got my career so I can go direct myself. God has given you everything. God has given you everything. God does, and if we let Him, He will take care of us. There's times when we feel frustrated, and are we letting God direct our path? That's what I want to ask people. You know, I'm feeling frustrated. I don't know about this situation. My first question is, are you allowing God to direct your path and everything? Well, you say, I don't like this path. I've said that many times. I don't like this path, God. But God has directed you there. So what are you going to do? And this is what I say. If you don't feel God's directed you there, then seek God's path. If not, seek Him. And if he has directed you there, then you stay with Him. Very simple. If you feel like, I don't know if this is the path, then go seek God. Just don't go off and do whatever you want to do. Go seek God. And if you know God's called you here, and you're struggling, you know, just because of where God has placed you, then go seek Him. Go stay with Him on the path. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. See, we like to quote a lot of Scripture, but we need to know what the Scripture says. It says the key to the verse is those that love God and are called to His purpose. So, oh God, this isn't working out. It must not be you. No, it says it's going to work out if we continue to stay with God, if we continue to walk with God, if we continue to believe what God has done for us and is doing for us. Loving means not just by words only. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. Why am I here? Oh, God, I love you. I love you. Where are you? Oh, God, I love you. I love you. This isn't working out. Oh, God, oh, God. No, it's, oh, God, I love you. And then it's by the following His direction and His path. Are you putting the two together? God, I love you. I love you. I love you. Even in this struggle, I'm staying where you called me to be until you move me. So here's the application. Say, Pastor Tom, how do I do all these things? This is how you do them. Following God's path. Follow His instructions. Wow, that's a novel idea. Follow His instructions, which is what? The Word of God. Are you in the Word of God? We will follow instructions in everything else in life. You buy something for your child, you have to get the instructions out. Why will we look at instructions for everything else, but when it comes to God, we never go to the Bible? This is our key. Our key. He's our instruction. Do you know God's Word is the key? Follow His instructions. To follow instructions, you need to know God's Word. The Bible becomes our study guide because there is a test all through life. This is our study guide. If you're not reading this, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. So here's a simple question. It's on every test when you become a believer. It's on every test all through life. Here's one question. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but, and it's a fill in the blank. Do you know the answer? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but, can someone say it? Huh? Come on. This is a test on every, this is a question on every test as you walk with God. The enemy comes to steal and to destroy, but my God comes to give me life and more abundantly. Man, if you know that question on the test of life as a believer, you can make it. John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the first thing that's going to happen when you become a believer. He's after you. He wants you back. He was yours. You were his. You're not anymore. You're a new creation. You're God's, and God is yours, and yours is God, and you're one, and he lives inside of you, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The enemy wants his child back. And if you don't know that, you are going to struggle through the life of a believer. Come on, you're going to struggle. But when you know this, wait a minute, sorry, because, what is it? Speak to the hand, because I'm moving forward. I'm not walking backwards trying to look at what the enemy's trying to do. I've got a plan and a purpose that God has given me, and he's called me to a higher calling, an upward call in Jesus. There's your answer. You can make it in life. You can make it in life. The second one, seek the narrow path. Matthew 7:13. How do we do this, Pastor Tom? Read your Bible. Know the word. Seek the narrow path. Enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go there at. That's Matthew 7:13. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A lot of words. Is all he's saying here is, hey, are you going through Jesus? Jesus is the straight gate. Jesus is the narrow gate. There is no other way to do this. Broad is destruction. When you bring everything else, what do I always say? Jesus plus zero equals Jesus. But if it's put Jesus plus everything else, that doesn't equal Jesus. That's a broad road you're walking on. And you're going to have a lot of trials, a lot of problems, a lot of temptations, a lot of failures when you add everything in the mix. Straight, narrow. Are you on a narrow path? Broad means spacious. Straight means Jesus. Are you on the path of Jesus? He's called the door. He's called the door. And the last one. Last one. Always plan with God in mind. Is your plans with God? Are you planning with Jesus? Always plan with God in mind. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wow. That's Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. That's this Jesus. And so are our plans always planning in what God has in his mind? Always plan with God in mind. What is God up to, and how is he working in your life? I always told my girls, when you're going through things, I've said it here before, you may be going through a struggle, you may be going through something in your life, we all do. Where is Jesus in the middle of it? Because Jesus hasn't left it. Jesus isn't going anyplace. Why? Because Jesus is in you. So if your struggle is over here and you're struggling with something, Jesus is still here. If your struggle is over here, Jesus is still here. If your struggle is what college do I go to, Jesus is here. If you have Jesus in your life, he's here. He's in you. He's always there. He's always there. He's always there. I always tell them that. Where is Jesus in the middle of that? So my question, and we close with this. Have you been true to God's plan? I want you to think about that when you leave today. Have you been true to God's path? Or do you need to go back on God's path? And maybe you never received Christ and never been on his path. So the question is, have you been true to God's path? Where he's directing you to? Just think about that for a second. Do you need to get back on the path? Or if you've never received Jesus in your life, you need to get on that path, first of all. So we'll just bow our heads. Thank you for listening. We had it was an awesome service, graduations and worship, and it was awesome. But I want you to just think about this before we get up and leave. Have you been true to God's path? Graduates, adults, marriages, relationships, young adults, all of us sitting here, do you need to get back on God's path? Every head bowed, every eye closed, and maybe you never received Jesus and has never been on the path. If that's you, just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. And I have you raise your hand because I want to acknowledge who you are so I can pray with you. Even after the service, if you don't have a Bible, if you need information, then I can connect with you. It's not to embarrass, but every eye closed, head bowed, and just say, if you need to get on a path that you've never been on, just raise your hand. We want to pray with you and say, hey, we're going to pray with you because this is what it's all about. This is the day of acceptance, the day of salvation. This is what God has called us to this day, right now. And if you feel you've connected with Jesus, awesome. If you feel like you need to reconnect and get back on the path because you veered off, that's okay. Get back on the path. Use these tools. Use these tools to continue to walk with God. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for this word that you've given us. Lord, we thank that God is a forward focus. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you ordain our steps. You direct our paths. You have a plan and a purpose for everyone sitting here. And if someone today doesn't know you, that plan is still in place, that they would come to know you. Even in their bedroom, in their living room, or in their car as they leave, they would just say, hey, I realize I need to be with Jesus. I need to be on his path. I need eternal salvation. I need to know that I'm going to heaven. And I need to know that I was once a sinner, but I know God, Jesus came for me, has forgiven me. I receive that. And now I want you to be my Lord and Savior of my life. And I want to walk with you. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. And if that's you, you can say that at any time. But if you do, then you need to connect with someone, maybe here at the church, to let them know so we can pray with you and encourage you and help you walk through this life. And if you don't have a church, then Calvary Gospel can be your church. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for our children. And Lord, we pray for VBS for this week, God, that you would bring in such an anointing and a power, and that the Holy Spirit move through these young kids and through our leaders and our workers, and also through this community, even the ones who don't even enter this door but see the sign or see the neighbor's kids leave every night and come back home. And God, we just pray for parents and families. We pray for our community right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, God, have your way. Give us favor. Continue to open up doors. This is the acceptable day of salvation now. And Lord, that we would be that church that you've called to go out there and win the lost for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have some fellowship on the way out. Please help. Please help if you can stay for a little while. That would be great. Awesome. Thank you all.